Good evening.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Good evening. Good evening. We have technical difficulty, but we are so glad to be on the line. Do we have Dr. Pippin on the line? Hello?
The devil is a lie.
Hello? Hello?
Why can't anybody hear me?
Hello?
Hello?
Hi.
Hi, this is Dr. Sarah, this is
McCray.
You can hear me?
Yes, I can. We've been having technical difficulties, so trying to even get on the line, so I had to go and restart. So could you hold on a moment? Let me see if I can get Dr. Pippin back on the line.
Okay.
Hello?
Hey, Tiff, can you hear me?
I'm on the line, and we do have some, so if you could go back out and let them know that we are live. We are live now. All the difficulties, we've gotten a hold to it, and we thank you so kindly, Dr. Pippin, for being patient with us tonight, and we do have callers on the line. Tonight, we want to get started. We're so sorry for everything that has taken place so far. But we do thank you for being on the line. We thank you for being on the line tonight. And tonight we're going to be talking with Dr. Pippin about psychological effects of the absent parent tonight. And some of the topics that we're going to be talking about tonight would be kids never knowing their dad, children being raised by a parent who loves them but longs for their own, and be honest with your kids, know before you go, and ice cream parents. How are you doing, Dr. Pippin?
I'm doing just fine, Apostle. How are you doing this evening? You know, that was just the devil didn't want us to have this discussion this evening.
I was very persistent about trying to get back on the line, and we're so sorry for the difficulties, but we're thanking God that we're on the line now, and what we're going to be doing during the process is allowing people to know that we are on the line. I'm quite sure we lost some people along the way trying to get the difficulties, but we're so glad to have you on the line. And if you will, you know, we'll dialogue and begin to just talk about the things that you wanted to address concerning parents' issues and our kids and how we're losing them because of the psychological things they're having to deal with in their lives as kids and as being grown, have grown up and have not gotten healing from the past of not having that absent parent in our lives. So if you will go ahead, please, and just, you know, start with whatever you want to, and at the end we will have question, answers, and also if anybody want to have any comments at that time, we will.
Well, thank you so much, Apostle. I really appreciate you this day. I thank you for us just being able to dialogue as sisters in Christ and just being able to be on one accord with the issues that we need to talk about in our community and around the world. And so when we were last meeting and talking about, you know, children and how we see them and, you know, especially some of the young people that I have an opportunity to and a blessed opportunity to mentor, it's a lot going on with the children that are growing up in our day and age. I got to tell you, these are some of the most intelligent kids I have ever seen, met. Anybody that know a 2 or 3-year-old, I'm sure that you are amazed at some of the things that they say, that they do, the ability that they have to comprehend. Things that, you know, back in our day, we weren't doing those kind of things. These children are extremely bright. They catch on extremely fast, and they are truly 21st century kids. But
yes.
I think even as far as we have progressed in them being able to maneuver in this world and being able to converse with one another and being able to learn and catch on things, you know, there's a psychological aspect to these children that is a detriment to their lives. And I think it all stems back from the family, you know,
yes.
And families, you know, families from where I come from consist of a mother and a father. And so I grew up that way all my life. I had a mother and a father. Now, let me put in a disclaimer, parents that are listening. Don't you think for a second that what we're saying, that because you have a father and a mother in the household, that your children are going to be just fine. They're going to be just fine. They're going to be perfect. What we are saying is that fathers and mothers, when you co-parent your child will have a better opportunity, a better chance to live a whole productive life and be a whole productive member in this society and be able to have whole productive, meaningful relationships, whether it be personal or, you know, educationally or corporately or whatever, just relationships, period, they'll be more better apt to be able to deal with them. You know, some of the young people that I'm fortunate to be able to deal with today, more of them than not come from single-parent households. And I know that all too well because I raised my children from when they were small up until they got grown. I raised them on my own, and so I know the difficulty of being a single parent and the struggles that you have. I have boys and girls. And not only was I blessed to have my own children, I had so many others. And I still see the effects of not having a father at home with them. And not only just not having the father at home with them, but even having the father that's out of the house, having them to have a relationship with their child. That is probably the most detrimental psychologically thing that can happen to a child, is not to be in relationship with their father. And if the fathers are raising these children, then we're going to flip the script. It is detrimental for a child not to have a relationship with their mothers. It's hard on them. It's hard. You can imagine the psychological development. It takes two. Little girls, although they need their mothers, they need their daddies. Because
yeah.
You got to understand that a little girl's daddy, he's the first one that she's going to see as a man, as a role model, how men are to treat her, how the boys are supposed to respect her, what her level of her standard, what she will and will not take or subject herself to. A lot of that stuff comes from her dad, and not so much as him just cracking the whip to teach her, but by observing him. Can somebody say amen? Our children
amen.
Primarily what we do quicker than they will what we say.
Yes.
You understand
absolutely.
What I'm saying? So,
yes, yes.
Did I lose you? Okay, I got you. There you go.
Yeah, we're here. We're here.
Good, good, good. Okay, I thought I had lost you. I heard something clicking for a minute.
Oh.
But I have, it's very difficult. And so now what I'm saying is the young people who have been left, and we'll just talk about the ones who've been without their father. Father just have been non-existent in their world. And so we're talking about non-existent fathers. We're not talking about fathers who are there, not even fathers who try to be there, and you dealing with baby mama drama. But we're dealing with just the total absence of a father. Fathers, you are needed. It is such a detriment to your child when you are absent out of their lives. They must have your imprint on their life in order for them to succeed wholly and healthy. Will they not grow because you're not there? Well, certainly they will. Can they not go and attain levels of success in this society? Of course they can. They can go and, you know, be educated and, you know, gain some skills and climb the corporate ladder. But just exactly how healthy are they? That's what we're concerned about. We're concerned about how really, how their health, wholly, how it is. statistically, if you look at statistics, and, you know, we got to take them with a grain of salt, but I've been looking at some, and we have quadrupled from, let's say, from 1960, which where fatherless homes were about at 7 or 8%, to 2010, 2011, we're up to 30% of fatherless children. We're talking fatherless. This is 2015, so I'm sure them statistics have even rose farther. Think about in your own world, in your own circle, and the people that you know, the young people, families that you know. How many fathers are missing from the children?
Mm-hmm.
And what is it that we see these kids are struggling with, struggling through? You know, little girls have their self-esteem is not as full as it primarily would be if daddies were there. If daddy were there to tell her that she's pretty. If daddy was there to tell her that she matters. If daddy was there to tell her that she's number one. She is somebody. You're my queen. You can do it. Daddy got your back. Little girls need to hear those things from her dad. Little girls need to be able to trust and know that they're going to be protected by their dad. Little boys need the same thing. They also need the same things from their mothers. And so it's we got to pay attention to this lack of our fathers, and we got to find some solutions of getting our fathers back in relationship with their children. Now I can see the buttons lighting up on the phone with so many men, good men, who want to be in relationship with their children, who try so hard to be in relationship with their children, and they got to deal with exes who are bitter and scorned and broken and hateful and mean and just overall baby mama drama. And so what we got to learn as we co-parent, when we're no longer together but we have this child, and we got to be able to put our own personal differences. If we can't deal with them, if we can't come together as adults and agree to disagree, we got to be able to co-parent this child. Because the child didn't deserve to come into the madness. And so we have to agree to disagree if we have some disagreements as adults, to be able to put those to the side, because the child didn't ask for none of that. They didn't ask to come here. They didn't ask to be a part of this dysfunction of a family that we're trying to create here to co-parent as one in the house and one outside the house. And it's very difficult to get it together. Because the responsibility lies on the parent. It is my responsibility as my children's mother to try everything under the sun to get my children to be in right relationship with their fathers. And Lord knows, I know, I have, with my own personal children, my own story, is that, you know, I've had them, I have, one of my children have an awesome relationship with his dad. As much as he could be, because he's not his biological father. But he was a wonderful man. It's a wonderful man to be able to take a woman pregnant and did not want to have this child because of my own lifestyle. But
right.
He promised me, took me under his wing and under his arm and promised that child that I was carrying would become his child. And I tell you, some 26 years later, he's gone on to live his life, and I've gone on to live mine. But we remain friends. But through it all, he has remained a father to this son. And from day one, it's been him. I got another child who has a father. My son is 30 years old and just met his father. Just met him. Did he know about him? Yes, he knew about him. But had they been in relationship up until this point? Absolutely not. And so I see the damage that part of my son has missed, the inability to be able to have a relationship with his father. I see the long-term damage that it has done. And so at this point, they know each other. It is up to them now. It's no longer up to me. It doesn't matter about the years that I've pleaded with, just come sin, just come spend some time with him. Just come. One less I could do at the end of the day except pray that one day, this day had finally come, that he would get an opportunity to know his dad. My prayer was Apostle Janet, my prayer was that he would at least allow himself to know his dad because he had been angry for so long. And so it was a long time coming because I wasn't quite sure if he was going to allow that door to open. But I'm thankful to God today that he has opened up that door. And I'm not talking about 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago. We're talking about this year. We're talking within the last 12 months, and he's 30 years old. So trust me when I tell you I understand.
Yes.
You know, yeah, it's been really, really difficult for him, but I'm happy to see that they're trying to build their relationship today. You know, my son is married, successful, he has grandchildren of mine, and he's seemingly, you know, I know him, I'm his mama, I know him. And so it seemingly on the outside, it looks like he's good. He's good, but yeah. I know him. And I know he's not good when it comes to his father. And it impacts him, his fatherhoodness, you know, if you will. And so I just pray that, you know, the healing has begun, that it continues to build, it continues to be, and my son can get to the wholeness in this area. That he deserves to be in. For his father, too. I'm sure that his father has longed over the years. And for whatever reason, he hasn't been a part of our son's life. It's, you know, that's immaterial to me. To me, as mother, at this point, I'm just so grateful that now they're in relationship with one another. And I just pray that it just continues to grow and flourish because it would make both of them a better man. And so I'm excited to see that flourish. Yes, ma'am.
Dr. Tiffany, do you think with some of the absent parents being in the kids' lives, do you think it may have happened to the father or the mother? Do you think it you know, like your son just meeting his dad, do you think that his dad's father was missing in his life?
You know, I know that he went, this particular son's father went to the military very early on. But from what I understood, his mother and his father were in his life, you know, with him growing up. Because, you know, we were here in Atlanta. But as a youngster, you know, he left, well, we both left young and went to the military. And he stayed 35, 40 years. so he stayed. And so I don't want to say that definitively because I really don't know.
Yes.
But, you know, sometimes we repeat things that occur in our life. You know, men who abuse their wives, you know, they grew up with abuse. And that's not to say that that's 100% because, you know, jokers can grow up and learn to be abusive for whatever other reason. But statistically, you know, whatever it is you experience in your family and the dynamics of it, you can translate that. You can transfer that into your family that you have had of your own. And so we just got to know that, you know, we have the one that we can go to be able to break these cycles because in God all is possible. There is no thing under the sun that is not possible with God. And so he has been my only guide, my only tool that has gotten me on the straight and narrow. Many, 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 many issues that I had to deal with and put myself in throughout my life. And I'm just grateful because could nobody else have done it? Not nobody but God. And I'm grateful. I really am. I really am grateful. And so, you know, I just want to encourage fathers to, you know, find your children. You know, spend time with your child. Spend time, quality time with your child. You can't show up once a month and see your baby or take them to the fair or take them to the park or y'all go to the basketball hoops or, you know, take a ride downtown or go to the aquarium or Disney World. Once or twice every other month. You can't. That's what we call the ice cream father. You show up just to have a little fun, and then you go on back to your world, and you send your kid back on to their world. That's not being a father. That's not being a father or a mother. We call them ice cream parents. You show up for the ice cream, and then you send them back home. That is equally as damaging, because you show up to a child who has been longing for you, who have been desiring you, wishing for you, hoping for you, wanting and needing you, and you show up and have a little fun. They're going to enjoy the moment, but it's going to come all too soon, all too short, and it's not consistently enough of what it is that they need in order for them to be whole. And so we leave behind a lot of broken children, and broken children grow up to be broken adults, and then we have open ourselves up to all kinds of issues. We're not allowed to be whole as children. And these children today growing up who know so much about so many different things, they don't understand the detriment that is happening to them psychologically for them not being parented by both of their parents. So I just think that it is important, fathers and mothers, just, you know, you got to know your children. You got to be there in order to make an impact on their lives. So, you know, no more ice cream parents. You know, you got to get to the bottom of what's keeping you away, and you got to deal with that. This is the 21st century. We got so much internet stuff going on. You can Skype my grand. I was in Santiago, Chile yesterday on Skype with my grandbaby. You can see your children, talk to your children. These children got cell phones, tablets, all kind of stuff to keep in touch. And if they don't have it, Daddy, go get them one so you can keep up with them and talk to them and communicate with them and see them. It's not so much as what you get them or where you take them or, you know, what you buy for them or what you give them. They want you. You ask any child. Any child who's missing their parent, what is the one thing that you want the most? Do you think they're going to say some sneakers or a Nintendo game or a cell phone? No. No, they're going to tell you they want their daddy or they want their mama. And you can't blame them. Yeah. You really can't. You can't blame them. So we need our parents to be parents to the children. And whoever has custody, if there is a sole custody, if you are the one with the child in the household, don't make it difficult for the other parent, because you're going to wish to God as they continue to grow that you have allowed free reign for the absent parent. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, your baby's mother is a stone fool. You know that she is doing all kind of things that will put your baby in harm's way, and the same with some fathers. Yes, you have the right and you have the ability to be able to step in and create some barriers there to make sure that your child is safe. But we're barring all negative isms, and it's just two grown people who have this child together. You can co-parent, then you need to co-parent. You need to co-parent, and you need to put your differences aside and do whatever it is that you need to do to take care of your child. One of the things that, now I get to watch it from both ends now, because before my sons were married, and one of them is, say again, Apostle?
Yes, we're listening.
Oh, okay.
What I do is we're on mute. We're on mute, so if you don't hear anything, that's because we want it to be quiet behind, so we're here.
Oh, okay, I thought I heard you say something.
No.
What was I going to say? I lost my train of thought, Jesus. I'm getting old, Lord. All right, I'm going to have to come back to that one. It just left me. But anyway, I know that I was encouraging the fathers and the mothers that are outside of the home for where the children are. Just, you know, do whatever it is that you need to do in order to be a part of your child's life. Put your pride to the side. Put your ego to the side. You know, pray, fast. Intercede for your baby. You need to make an imprint on your child's life, because let me tell you something, if you don't, you will regret it as that child continue to grow. You will regret it. And so don't think for a moment, fathers who are actually in the house with your children. The same applies to you, because how many of y'all know that you can be at home but still not at home? Fathers and mothers, you can be in the house but not a participant in your child's life. You ever been to anybody's house and there's a mother and a father there, but you never see one or the other? You know, their fathers who take care of their children solely. He cooks, he cleans, he bathes them, he do homework with them, he play with them, he sips tea with the little girls, he does all of these different things, and mommy is nowhere to be found. She's upstairs in her room on the computer for whatever reason. She's dealing with her own stuff, but non-existence in her children's life.
Yes.
And with the fathers. Fathers are the same. You can be at home and still absent. So you need to do the same that we need to, as mothers, we have to do the same. You have to be an active participant in your child's life. Go to your child's school. Go with them to the doctor. Let them, you know, when that first tooth come out or with that first play, or don't let mama be the only one that shows up to different events or activities or fun things or family outings. You have to play your part. You have to be right there. It takes two. It does. It takes two. And so I've witnessed it. I see it. I mean, it looks like on the outside it's picture perfect. But if you're allowed to get up in there, he's really non-existent. And that, too, will cause your children to be in a single-parented home, although the presence of you is there, because the impact will not be made that needs to be made in order for the child to grow up healthy and whole. And so I just encourage you as parents, us as parents, because my children are still here, God children that are all over this globe, and they are all, most of them are all parents now, and I encourage them to, you know, put your differences aside. If you're not with your baby's father or your baby's mother any longer, you got to put all that stuff to the side. If you weren't able to get some forgiveness with one another, you got to put it to the side, because now there's another life at stake at both of your hands, and you got to be able to come together to love and nurture that baby so that they can grow and have a fair shot at life. You wonder, you know, you see so many young folks now, and it's dealing with so many different ailments, and, you know, depression and suicide and, you know, promiscuity and drugs and alcohol and just all kind of nonsense that's bringing harm to themselves. And, you know, you get to talking to them. It will always, 99.9% of the time, stems back to home.
Yeah. Yes.
We got to get our homes together.
Yes.
Well, Dr. Chippin, we have another subject that I would love for you to talk about, and that is be honest with your kids.
Yeah, trust me. These little people, how old was this baby? This baby had to be about 3 or 4 years old when I was talking to this baby. I'm just a stranger. I was traveling. I was talking to this child. And so I said, "Aren't you so pretty today?" She said to me, "I know. My daddy tells me all the time." And I wanted to hug. I just wanted to jump up and hug that brother Nancy. Because she said it with such confidence, with such knowing. And she ain't been here 5 years on this planet. But for the 3 years that she's been here, she is confident. Because this is what my daddy said. And because she believes and trusts her daddy,
yes.
This is how she is already operating on. It was so beautiful to see. And she was clear about that right there. She was so clear. We got to be honest with our children. I mean, we got to be honest with them because they are so smart. Don't think for a second that you're doing something that you don't think that your children know about it. Keep doing it. They'll be able to tell you about it. I remember when I was on dope, and my kids were much, much smaller, and I thought that, you know, I had somebody living with me that was taking care of my children. You know, some people want to call it my kids had a nanny. No, my kids had a nanny, but she was my friend that lived with me, and she was taking care of my kids. And so I thought that my kids weren't aware of my dealings and my you know, my goings and my comings. But, honey, as my children began to get older and I began to get clean and I began to go and you know, to all these different meetings and groups, and I will bring them along with me. And I'd be sitting in these groups sometimes, and, you know, the topic of discussion would be one thing, and all of a sudden one of my children would chime in, well, we know this, 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 and because we know Mama says so-and-so, and I'm like, oh, my God, that you were six. How you know that? How you know that?
Yeah.
Or even now, yeah. When we're all together and they're grown now and they talk about some of the things when I was in my crazy state, what I call with me now, I'm talking about my life, in my crazy state, and, you know, they talk about seeing me being paranoid and just crazy and doing some of the crazy stuff I used to do. And to me, they were little. They were five, six, three. They were little, little twats, and I didn't think that they would remember none of that stuff. But as they got to be older and we began to dialogue more and more, I couldn't find out they remember that. They remember those things, and they made a huge impact on their lives. And so we have to be honest with our children. We got to be honest with our children about our shortcomings, our failures, our disappointments. We got to be honest with them and talk to them. We can't treat them like they're paper dolls and that, you know, if they understand the reality of something, they're going to break. No, they'll break if you try to shield them from it. Oh, I wish my baby boy, I wish I would have told him to log on because, honey, he used to get me with this one. You know, we have to, we teach our, how do I used to say that? We teach our boys and we raise our girls. We teach our boys and we raise our girls. There is a difference in male and female. There's a difference. The learning is different. Their ideologies are different, male and female. Their sometimes belief systems can be different. The way that they view and look at things can be different. I thank God that I got boys. I have daughters, but I had more boys than I had girls. And so I thank God for the ability for them to be able to communicate to be able to communicate their thoughts and their feelings and their emotions. Now, you know, we girls, we can do that very well.
Yeah.
We can talk. And so my daughters will tell you that in a heartbeat, they can get off of their mind and off of their chest what is there. Too many times than not, little boys can't do that. They have not had the right atmosphere set for them to be able to communicate that. But boys can do that. But it starts with them being very young. And so we got to be honest with our kids. If you don't know, tell them you don't know. If you don't have it, say you don't have it. Don't rob Peter to pay Paul to do some materialistic dumb something that you probably won't even be able to find next week or next 3 or 4 months. Don't do it, parents. What our children need, it don't cost nothing. It don't look like nothing. It don't smell like nothing. You can't even put a price tag on what they need, because what they need the most comes from out of you. And out of you, prayerfully, we have done enough work on ourselves that we can get to when these children get big enough to start talking and communicating back and forth, dialoguing with us, that you'll be able to tell them the truth. Tell them the truth from day one. Because I shielded my kids when they were growing up. I did not want my kids to suffer any longer. So when I left Atlanta and moved to Tallahassee is when my journey really began. And my babies were small. They were very little. They were, I think my oldest was like 7. So they might have been 7, 6, 4, or 3. I don't know, girl. Call me kids and let me know how old y'all were. But they were young. And so my thinking in the beginning was that I don't want my kids to suffer like I did. And so I'm going to do every and anything that I can do to make it to where they don't suffer and have to go down some of them road pitfalls and step in some of them holes that I stepped into, because I had already done it. They didn't need to do it. I had already done it. So I wanted them to be able to learn from my mistakes and not have the same mistakes that I had. And so we want to be honest with them. And so, I mean, real practical, simple things. Like, because, I was a single parent, and so I was raising my children on my own. Now, remember, I come from Atlanta. Okay, I'm on the radio. So let me try to put this another way.
Yeah, we have about 20 people on the line, so yes.
Okay, I come from a very tough disposition that I had put myself into. It wasn't nobody else's fault. You know, I give no blame to anyone else for the choices that I made, especially when I became an adult. They were all on me. And so when I left here and raising my children, I didn't want them to have to suffer. So I did everything to shield them from the reality of what our reality was. You know, when I first got to Tallahassee, I have nothing, nothing. When I left here, I was following a mandate from God. And when I left here and went to Tallahassee, I did not look back. And it was the happiest I had ever remember being in my life, period, up until that point. And I was so happy being broke and the poorest in things that I've ever been in my life. I sold dope here in Atlanta. I worked at a strip club, did things that made lots and lots of money. But it wasn't important to me when my life began to change. I just wanted to get my babies and get out of here and learn how to be a parent.
Yes.
And along the way, what I did was I shielded them. I shielded them from the reality of what we were. We lived off. I started out living with someone, and then I got into sectional housing, and I got on food stamps, and I got on different programs, programs after programs after programs. I did all of that. And my children, we lived in one of the, what Tallahassee calls, the affluent neighborhoods is where we lived at. But no one knew that my children were living from hand to mouth at my hand. No one knew that because they didn't look like that. And so we need to be honest with our children. Don't be struggling to be doing things to make your children look like they're of wealth when in actuality what the wealth is what you put inside of them and not on them, not on their back, not on their feet. Not in their room, not on their wrists, you know, not around their neck, but in them. Those are the things that will be seen for generations to come. Them tennis shoes going to wear out. Them clothes, they're going to get old, and they're going to want some more at the next season. Just be honest with your kids. And I started this late. I should have started it, I wished I would have started this sooner as a single parent. Because it was just me. When the money came in and I logged it in my checkbook, I should have sat them all around the table. And I should have had them, each of them, to have a bill. And, you know, put a pot in the middle of the table. And this is what you got. And this is what you got to spend it on. Now, the reality of our financial situation is this. Now, I need y'all. I need your input. Because, you know, there come a point where they get big enough to be able to do some input in here. So you don't have kids walking around the house all mad because they can't do this or they can't go here or they can't have this or we can't send them here or no, let's let them take part in our reality. Be honest with them. Don't have them growing up thinking that they live in like Bill Gates step kids and they can't do it. They can't do it. I guarantee it, their lives will become richer. They will become whole as a result of you being honest with them. Be honest with them with whatever it is. You had a relationship and it didn't work out, be honest. Don't have nobody coming up in there and, you know, making sure that, you know, he's at the house, dad's at the house before the children leave so he'll see them and the kids don't know that he's gone because he's there when they go. Don't be trying to trick kids like that. They are not dumb. Don't do it.
Yeah.
I was talking with somebody a couple of weeks ago that's doing that. Well, you know, we make sure that he's here when they get up and, you know, when they go to bed, we make sure that he's out. What? Kids are not dumb. Not by a long shot. Not by a long shot. And so we just want to be honest with our kids. We want to be honest with them at whatever level they're at and their comprehension. But these kids, I'm telling you, Apostle, these children know. You got grandkids. You know, these little people are something else with their comprehension and their understanding and their ability to be able to communicate with us. They're something else. I absolutely love it. But we got to be honest with them because they're people too. We got to be honest with them.
Dr. Tippin, one of the things that you were talking about, because this relates to me so much because I was a single parent. At first, mm-hmm. my oldest two
because I was married to their dad, the first, my first set of girls. I was married to their dad, but because of the abuse and all that that took place in my life, you know, I winged it for a long time. And then once I had not experienced the world, being raised up with my daddy, and, you know, we're going to deal with some of that next week. But I went into the world, and so I was, you know, I dropped my kids off to my mom and my dad, and so I am right now trying to mend the relationship from being absent in my children's life from right now. That is what I'm trying to do. That's why it's so important to be honest with them and, you know, try to go back and repair, because I wasn't in their life. You know, I made the money to make sure that they was taken care of, but it's, as you said, it's time that the kids wanted their parents. You know, all the stuff was good, but me being absent in their life, and it has caused a lot of tragedy in their lives as they were growing up. And then coming into it, when I married my husband, when I came into Christendom, then, you know, we tried to redo it, and but then we bought more damage because we were so busy trying to do church work that our kids were still being neglected.
Exactly.
They were still being neglected by us taking care of everybody else's children. Tending to everybody else, but they were still neglected. We wind up going to the school for other people's children, but we weren't in the children's lives for them. So, you know, I'm so glad that you're dealing with these issues, because, you know, we need to go back and repent. I had to go back and repent.
Yes, Apostle,
right now, my oldest daughter is 42, my other one is 40, and I have a 31 and a 32-year-old. But I'm still trying to mend and get a real relationship with my kids even now. And so some of the mistakes we made along the way, but I'm so glad that we're dealing with these issues and you are addressing some of the issues. Even now, you know, when we may think that nothing happened to our kids, we need to know that something really did happen. And then, as you say, you can be in the house, but still absent in the house.
That's right. That's right. Absolutely, Apostle. And I'm so glad that you said that, because it makes it real for people when they hear, you know, somebody say that, you know, this is what happened to me. This is what it looked like in my world. And the fact that you're still dealing with being able to mend relationships, I am too. I am too. And there's so many parents, especially I wanted to encourage fathers who would do this, who have done and been in the same kind of position. It is no different than a mother being absent from her children than a father being. When we're away, there is something missing psychologically for the children. But you know what? All praise be to God. I'm so thankful today, because I know most of your girls, and they're absolutely beautiful, fun, and love the Lord. Let me tell you something. Just like God is dealing with you, God has already and still continues to deal with them. Because you know what? When we be honest with our children, they respect them more than anything under the sun. See, they can appreciate you telling them, look, this is where I was at. This is what I was experiencing. This is what happened to me. This is what I thought I was doing, what was right. Trust me, I understand neglecting your family for ministry. And church folk need to hear this. You cannot be pushing your, I'm a preacher's daughter, so I've been in church all my life. And so you cannot, for the sake of and call it ministry, and neglect your first ministry, which is home, your family, your wife, your husband, your children. But going in it, especially as new babies in Christ, we don't know that. Didn't nobody tell me that. I don't know if they told you that. Didn't nobody tell me that. You look at the bishop and the preacher and the apostle, and they got it going on. Ministry is flourishing, and, you know, everybody's hollering and getting fed, and then they child in and out of jail. Child homeless. They child broken. They child. Come on now. We got to do better than that, Saints. We got to do better. And it is never too late. My son is 30 years old. How old you say your children are? 41? 32.
It is never too late.
It's never too late for us. We're the parents. We still dealing with you. We still getting better, getting stronger, getting delivered, getting free. We still dealing with it because it's been a lifelong process. And so if we just be honest with our children, the healing will happen faster. Forgiveness will be able to occur in its totality. That's probably one of the hardest lessons people will ever learn, if they ever learn it, is how to forgive.
Yes.
How to forgive and how to love. If you are so fortunate and blessed to be able to learn those two, your life in this world would not have been in vain. But unfortunately, Apostle, too many people, especially when they've been broken and wounded, too many would never have a life free of forgiveness.
Right.
And that's a sad
connotation. Another thing is, too, because, you know, many of the people that come on this line for the radio show, they are saved and have a relationship with Christ. And then some of us belong to churches that will make us feel guilty about making our family our first ministry. And today, you know, coming from the old church, you know, we used to have to drag our babies to church, and we'd be in church all night and put them on the bench and bring them pillows and stuff for them to sleep. But now it's a new day.
As you say,
our family is our first ministry. And then
That's right. We
have manipulative and controlling leaders now will make us think that we're doing something because we're spending valuable time with our children. And so we don't want to have, today's society, we don't want to have any regrets, and then have a history of having our kids angry with us, you know, because when, like all my girls were cheerleaders, all except one, from Pee Wee all the way up to 12th grade. But there was a lot of time my kids told me they wanted to see their mama up in the pews, up in the
back.
Yeah, they wanted, but they could look up there and
right.
they see all the other parents and stuff. So that's one of the things we would like to talk about and address tonight, too. You know, your children are your first ministry, especially if we have the absent parent. You know, be there for your children. And I'd like for you to address that, if you will.
Well, Apostle, I'm so glad you brought that up because that is so true. And it's so, you know what, it's so sad. I'm going to preface it with something else. We have leaders in the church. And I don't care what your denomination is, what kind of church you belong to, what kind of temple, it don't matter. If whatever sect you belong to and they don't teach family, then you might want to look at that a little deeper. Because you cannot have children. And you want to bring your children up in Christ, and then you neglect the children and their activities. Children need to be doing stuff. And if we are going to push our children to do stuff, which is going to expand their horizon, then we have to be active participants. My baby would never have another little league game that I can go to. He is 30 years old. My baby boy, he will never go to another, you understand what I'm saying? He'll never have another junior high recital. He'll never have another one because he's grown now. And so I cannot Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, I can't be running to the church. And my son, I got T-ball, I got ballet recitals. I can't do that because, see, the church going to be there and my children are going to grow up, get grown, and be gone. How are they going to leave? Mm-hmm. Are they going to be bitter? Are they going to be missing me? Are they going to be absent of something that I could have given them? Or am I going to have done what we've always done for generations back and some of these sects is do what you just said. We'd be in church all day and all night with our kids. Don't do it. Don't do it, boo-boo. Because if he's telling you that you need to be here on Monday night, you need to be here on Tuesday night, you need to be here on Wednesday night, you need to be here on Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday, call me because I got some land for you. Call me. I got some land for you. It's not right. It's not right. It's not biblical. It's not biblical because your family is your first ministry. And so you should want your woman of God or the man of God in your life will encourage you. You know, you got kids. You know, Sister Martha, you can't be here next Wednesday. I know you want to chair that meeting, but I know something. I know something about your daughter. She needs you. Somebody else can chair this ministry. Somebody else can go pick them clothes up for the clothing drive. Somebody else can go, come on now. Come on, saints. Yeah. Don't put them off and then say that I'm doing the Lord's work. They'll understand. No, that will come back to bite you. Trust what I'm telling you. No, we got to have some balance with this thing.
What we want to do right now is, because we have people in and out tonight, what we want to do is open up the line. So if anybody have any comments, if you have any questions that you would like to ask Dr. Pippins tonight, the lines are open now. So if anyone have anything that they would like to say, because, you know, sometimes we get 30 and then it drop off. So we don't want anybody leaving without, you know, having some clarity or maybe something that you can add to what we are saying, because what you have to say is very important as well. So
yes, it
is.
If
you have any questions or comments, because we want to deal with these problems, because it's happening, and we got to stop looking over things as though it's not happening in our home, being single parents, and wanting to be able to go to the pastor where they don't have time or your leader don't have time. So this is the reason that we are having this call, so that you'll be able to hear what it is. Dr. Pippin is such an awesome lecturer, and she loves what she do. So if we have any questions or comments, the lines are open now, and you can be able to ask questions or have a comment at this time. Please do.
Please do. I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to dialoguing with you. No question is off limits. Go for it. Who we got on the line?
We have some people on the line.
Let's do it.
Well, if nobody have anything right now, we want to go to the next one. It's Noah Before You Go.
Oof. Now, when we were talking about this, when we were talking about Know Before You Go, listen, ladies, gentlemen, when you enter into a relationship with a woman or a man and they have children, you need to know fully.
Mm.
You need to know exactly what the expectations are and what your desires are. You got to know. You need to know. You need to know for your sake, for their sake, for our sake, for the child's sake.
Yeah.
You need to know. Because divorce is so easy. It's so easy for us to get mad at one another and say, you know what, I'm out. I'm bounced. That's it. I ain't got to deal with this right here. And then you do it all over again in a couple of more years. Uh-uh. You need to know before you go. Do the work. That's my mantra that I live by. You must do the work in order to see some results. You know, I know you want your life to be great. You want it to be whole and healthy, and you want to be productive, but you got to do the work. Because all of us, I declare, all of us have some things that we could improve upon in our lives, but you got to know. You got to know what you're dealing with before you go. You got to know who is the other parent to this child that you're about to come into this family with. You need to know who they are. You need to know what they're...
Yeah.
Their expectations are. You need to know what their desires or lack thereof are. You know, that stuff got to be clear, because who's going to be affected the most?
Yes.
You get a bunch of grown folks dealing with a bunch of foolishness behind a child. Who suffers the most?
Yes.
The child. The child suffers the most. You got mama and her new boyfriend, which will one day be her husband, but then little Katie, daddy, and he's dictating that, you know, I don't want my daughter calling him daddy, and I don't want my daughter, but she ain't seen you in 8 months. we got to, look, we got to get it together, y'all. Like, for real, we got to get it together because it's the children. Remember, it's the children who need us the most. They do. And so we got to get ourselves together so that we can be whole and healthy, so that we can be parents to these children who need us so desperately. You know what concerns me about our children today, Apostle, is that in my generation, it appeared, quote unquote, that the one thing we all had in common is that we knew God. We was being drugged to church, brought to church, had church at the house. We knew something about God. But today, you ask some of these teenagers today about Jesus, God, the Holy Ghost, your spirit, your conscience. You ask some of these kids about God today. That is scary.
Yeah.
Because at least when I lost my mind and disobeyed all that I had known, when I finally got it together, I knew where to go. I knew where to lean. I knew where to fall at. I knew where to reach my hand to pick myself up with the knowledge that I had of God. I knew of God. I knew that there was a God. I knew that there was something greater than me. But you got kids today, it's scary.
Yes.
Don't have a conscience.
Yes.
Don't have a conscience. Yes. And it's scary. And so who's to blame? Whose fault is that? I'm sorry, parents.
Yes. Yes.
It's our fault.
Yes.
That's what you going to say, Apostle?
I said that is good right there. Know before we go. And now we can take it in many different areas because a lot of our children are so wounded because we brought another man or another woman into a marriage or a relationship for us, but didn't build a relationship with our children. And so even with that, our children suffer. You know, some of us are so desperate. A mate until we just
and selfish.
Anything. Yeah, and
anything. That's right.
Children have suffered even through that area. You know, we're just so happy to have a man and that significant other may not even like children. And so our children may even get wounded, wounded
further.
They already don't have the absent parent in their lives, and now we go and bring another. And we see so much happening in today's society with how they abuse children and kill children, and all because we're so desperate, you know, to have a mate or something. So, you know, these are some of the things that I've saw, some of the things that I dealt with personal. You know, and it's just time because right now I have a class and one of my students is on the line. She's at work, so she's not able to. She just got on mute. But right now we're having a class whenever we can. And the name of that class is, the book is Breaking the Cycle of Hurtful Family Experience. And I believe every single parent needs this book. I believe, every single parent needs this book because, number one, what it'll find out is about us. About us. And
that's
why when we sat down and began to ponder what it is that we want to talk about, this is very, very important. And one of the things is we to look at every aspect. You know, our children may be thriving and they may be going about doing things, but I know my children are still wounded and they're still hurt because of the lifestyle I lived. And that's been over almost 30-something years because I've been preaching 28 years, but yet and still that scar, that wound is still there from the effect of the things that I did. So some of the things we got to really look at our lives and how we talk to them and how much time, you know, in the old days we used to, you know, we used to eat around the table. Now, you know, everybody go to their own destination to eat. You don't know what your child went through at school or anything. So some of the time we just got to spend time and make sure that we're bringing the right people with the right environment around our kids because, you know, they're wounded. You know, it's some things my daddy tried to shield me from. But out of all he tried to do, I still was molested, and it still was incest in our family,
there you
know.
Right.
Then
exactly.
You know, so we want to talk about these issues. You know, we want to be able, you don't have to call your name or say who you are, but, you know, we need to know because people are constantly coming on the line. You know, they're still coming on the line, and, you know, so undoubtedly by them seeing the feed going on because I'm constantly putting it out there, somebody needs to hear some input what Dr. Pippen is talking about. And we're not just having these shows just to have them. It's amazing how we can look at empire and all this other stuff, but when it comes to things that we're really dealing with in our personal lives, we don't take the time. So, you know, I just want to say, you know, before we go, and she talked about ice cream parents where the absent parent, you know, come and pick them up once a month and maybe take them for some ice cream, take them to the store, buy a couple of gifts, and bring them back home, and then they don't see them anymore. We talked about kids never knowing their dad. You know, some of us have not even told our children who their real dad is.
Don't I know that too well? Don't I know that too well? And I'm not ashamed to tell you, Apostle, I have my son have a 25 or 26. I have to count. Now, the man that showed up in my life 26 years ago, who is my son's father, is not his biological father. And so when this man showed up who not only loved me and loved the unborn child, but he loved my other children that I had as well. And to this day, all the way back 26 years ago, he have been this boy's father. Now I'm starting to feel, because I've never had an unction of my baby boy to hang out with his biological father because of the activities I was doing at the time. And so I know it's a lot of ladies out there. It wasn't no relationship. It ain't because we got together because we wanted to know one another or we were in love. It was foolishness. It was a moment in time, and that was the end of it. But 25 years later, I could not even tell you where this man is. Now, that bothers me. Now, I wish my son was on the line because he said that it's not an issue for him because he have his dad. And so I want to believe that the love of a father or a mother can overshadow what the pain or the lack thereof in a biological parent could be. But we all know too many times that although you have a loving parent who loves you and who has taken care of you, who have done all the things that you would hope that a biological parent would do, but there's something in them that they don't have a specific agenda, but they just want to know who they are. They just want to see them one time. They just want to be able to lay their eyes on them one time. They just want to be able to say, wow, that's what you look like, just one time. Yeah. Now, some children can do that, and mine so claim that's who he is, that they just want to do that because they're satisfied with where they're at. But then there are other children they just got to know. They need to know because they'll never have a sense of belonging or closure or have no peace about their biological parent. They may have abandonment issues or neglect issues or you never know what kind of stuff that lacks when children don't know who their biological parents are. And there may be a point in some kids' life that they'll never know, like mine, if it's left up to me and there's no animosity behind this. But my baby has a father, have had one his entire life. Me, personally, I'm not interested in locating my son's biological father. If I were to hire a private investigator to find out who this man is and where he is, it would be because my son desires it to be so. Not me. I pray that he's okay. I pray that he's had a wonderful life, that he was able to get out of the foolishness that we were in. I pray that he's, you know, have gone on and learned about the Lord and loved the Lord and all the wonderful things that you would wish on somebody. But for me, I'm okay with that. But you can't say that about a child who longs to know who their father is. And if he's 26 now, I know my kid. One thing they do have the ability to do is to communicate. Now, you know what? That reminds me of something that you just said a second ago. You got to know who you're bringing around your children.
Yes.
I was a single parent all my children's life. Because when I got healthy enough to where I thought that I wanted to get married again, they were too big. They were too big, and God had not sent him to me that would be able to get past these jokers I had in my house. She would have had to get past the other men in the house. And it just was not going to happen without much heartache and pain. So it was easier for me to raise them. And now my children have plenty of role models around them. And I tried to keep positive, inspirational men around them so that they would not lack that male bonding and that male roleness in their lives. And you're right. You got to watch the people that you allow around your children.
Yes.
Incest and rape and fondling and, you know, it's serious. It happens in families. Everybody knows somebody who's been affected by incest, rape, molestation, some kind of sexual sickness, and this stuff goes on in families. And so we have to be cautious about the people that we allow, that we trust with our little kids and even our older kids, because all depending on how the personality is of a child, they may or they may not tell you what's going on with them.
Right.
They may not feel comfortable or safe enough or strong enough at the time to be able to tell you what's happening to them under your roof. Can you imagine?
Girl.
I done had some of everything on experiences to go on. And so, you know, these shows of the next few weeks are about sharing our experiences, you know, what God has allowed us to go through and to come through and still dealing with in some instances of some of the things, in hopes that you will have an opportunity to make better choices, to do better, to pray more, to be able to gain some spiritual strength so that you can exercise some spiritual wisdom to be able to make the next move. Because if you don't incorporate God, if you don't allow His Spirit to speak through you, it's a never-ending cycle. It's a never-ending cycle, and we're going to keep doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. And in some institutions, they call that insanity. And so you want to do it differently, you got to do the work. There's some work to be done, and we got to be willing to do it. Have anybody got any questions yet? Because we can keep on talking until the show ends.
I'm getting ready because we've been on the line by an hour or so. So I'm getting ready to unmute again. So if we have any questions or comment, you are I'm unmuting your line, and you get a chance to ask questions or your comments now.
Yes, I have a comment.
Okay, take your comment here.
My comment is I'm from Seattle, Washington. My name is Craig. I'm a dad that wants to be about my child's life, but it seems to me all the mother wants is a child support check. And what I'm getting at, this is, you know, it is some good dads out there that wants to be a part of their child's life, because I'm the one that went to the courthouse and put in the paperwork to be a child, part of my child's life. So eventually, if God's willing and the judge, I will be a part of my life. But my comment is, that's not too reflected on. It's always reflected on the bad dads. When are we going to reflect on some of these dads that trying to be a part of life and have more resources for that?
Thank you, baby. I sure appreciate your question. I really do. And so if you were logged on at the beginning of our show, we commend our fathers. We commend our fathers that's dealing with baby mama drama, that's dealing with the unnecessariness of the child who's in custody with a mother who's not being equally as kind on behalf of the child, because we have to learn, and I'm so glad that you brought this to the forefront once again. There are some wonderful dads out there.
Did you break up?
Well, somebody put their phone on mute, please, because we don't know. Maybe someone just went off the line. Maybe that was them. So she's going to address your comment, sir.
Well, I just want to comment on this. It's not that I'm targeting your show to say that this, but where I'm from, like up in Seattle, I had to go through, it was a child support custody issue. I did everything they wanted me to do. It wasn't against me. It was against the mother. And found out they couldn't have nothing against me, so they gave the child back to the mother. So my thing is, in the resources I found out when I was going to court, even the courts itself don't look at the dads. And I know that's because a lot of dads have not been a part of children's lives. And, you know, they take everything the mom said. It's not, and I'm not biased to just reflect. But my thing, when it's going to be kind of more equally yoked in the courtrooms, in the community, for black fathers or fathers, period, that wants to be a part of their child. That's all I'm saying. You know, the resources is not there.
And they're not, and you're absolutely right. And I apologize, Apostle, I got disconnected, but I'm here.
Okay.
You're absolutely right, dear. You're absolutely right. It's not equal, and the laws of this land are more reflective and leans towards the mother unless something can be proven that she's unfit. And it does not take into account of all the hundreds of thousands of wonderful dads who want to be a part of their children's lives, who are missing out on their lives because of baby mama drama. And because I've had to deal with it from a reverse end, because I would beg my children's father, just please come and get them. Please call them. Please. I'll bring them to you. It goes both ways. And I would just encourage you, baby, my only recourse was to pray, was to keep asking and to keep praying. And when I wanted to cuss, I'd bite my lip, and I would try to come out with something of kindness. It didn't always work when they were growing up, because my goal was to get them to be active participants with their child. And so I couldn't do nothing but pray, baby. I couldn't do nothing but pray and find other ways that I could just keep marching, just keep going forward, just keep trying. And trust me, I know it gets weary. It gets tiresome. It gets painful. It hurts. But you just keep going. Because you know what? One day he going to grow up. One day they're going to get big enough to say, look, Ma, with this foolishness you got going on with Dad, I want to see my dad. You just keep doing what you're doing, baby. You keep trying. And I'm praying with you that the laws in this land, in this country, they change when it comes to fathers, because there are good dads. I'm talking good dads. There are some wonderful men out here who want to be a part of their children's lives. And unfortunately, they're not being allowed to do so because of baby mama drama.
And also, with you. Go ahead,
I just want to thank you for that, for the encouragement, because, like I said, I'm the one went to the court. I'm the one had to serve the papers. And eventually I know God is going to, grace is going to make a way. And it's a little girl she's 2 years old. And my goal is why I'm so determined to be in the life. Like I say, it was a CPS case, all that, and I fought, and they still didn't want to get to it. Why I'm so determined, because I want to break that generational curse. I want my little daughter to see a working man, a godly man in her life, to break that generational curse, to where when she goes on, she have a life, education and all that stuff. But through the resources is not here up in Seattle. You know, and I'm not blaming the mom. It's just I'm really focusing. The question is on the resources. It's some down here, but it's not really focusing on the man. And it is so hurtful. And I would just like for more. You know, I gotta watch some of the other shows, Steve Harvey shows, and it's not nothing against him, but they just focus on the bad of the father. When are they gonna start focusing on the good? I mean, and I'm talking about these are. Where the people in high profile can see these shows and see that they're good dads. But right now, it's not even heard of. And like I said, I want to thank
you.
I was just going through Facebook, and I seen this, and I say I'm going to call in. And that was just my comment. And I need it probably to release. But I know it's going to work out with the end, sister.
It is.
I have faith.
It is. It's going to work out.
And I do have work.
Thank you so much, brother, for calling in. We really do appreciate it. Thank you so much. And you keep the good faith. It's going to change.
Yes,
it's
going
to turn around. You wait and see.
Now, is this
and
show
I, you know, I
like
would even,
once,
I would even
once
like
a week?
To, yes, it comes on every, we're here every Tuesday night at 9 o'clock. Every
okay,
Tuesday night.
I'm again. My name is Craig.
Thanks, Craig.
Craig.
We appreciate you.
Fair because if you go and look for Let's Talk About It, you know, go put it up in your toolbar, Let's Talk About It, and ask to join, and so you will know every week what the subject. We're not, we don't. We have different topics at times, but we just want to encourage you because, you know, as Dr. Pippin said, and I'm Apostle Claire and I'm the host, because one of the things is that I've learned because, like I said, I was a single parent for a long time, and one of the things is the other parent always try to poison the child's mind concerning the other parent. But it's like Dr. Pippin says, that child is going to grow up.
Yes, Lord.
And that child will be able to inquire, inquire. And going to want to have, because I'm telling you, because I was the bitter, one of the bitter parents, and that's what I tried to do. But the more I tried to do it, the closer my kids got to their dad. The closer they got to their dad. And so I can tell you that as a single parent out there and had the dad that I wanted to be part of, but because in the world, when I was in the world, you know, I'm like, you know, he didn't want me, so you don't want my children.
Right.
So,
I can understand that.
Yeah, you don't want me, so you can't have my kids. So, but as those kids begin to grow up, they wanted their dad in their lives, and no matter what, and they fought for it. So that's why we want to encourage you to let you know.
Yes.
Continue just to do what you do. Do you have joint custody with this for this child?
No, that's what I'm saying. After the CPS case, you know, because it was against her and her background history of CPS, and I took records of everything, and I told them if anything happened to my child, they will get sued. So they gave it back to her, and the lawyer I had didn't work for me. He didn't do nothing. So I immediately went and got a parenting plan and put it together. I hate to say it, but on Easter Sunday I had to serve to her because she went off and hid, and I knew she'd be at church Sunday, so I had to go serve at church before she went to church. And I served to her. But, you know, I hear, and it's like I said, I'm not a disrespectful guy, and you said
right.
Wait till the child grow up. Right now, I want to be in our life now. You
yes,
see what I'm saying?
I know you do, baby.
I respect
yes,
you
I
saying
you
when
she needs you.
She
needs you to be in her life now. Trust. She needs you to be in her life now. And no, we're not saying just wait until she grow up. But
yes,
as you continue to do the things that you know to do, you keep doing those things. You keep
yes, ma'am.
Talking to her mom. You keep asking to get her. You keep going to Seattle to see her. You keep talking to her. Ask the mother of the child, can I buy her a computer? Can I Skype her every evening at 5 o'clock? Can I? You just keep thinking of different ways for you to make an impact on your child's life. And you know what? I beg to differ. It is her fault. I know you don't want to blame your baby mama, but baby mamas, y'all got to get up off of that drama. You got to get up off of that foolishness. Because these children need their fathers. And all that other stuff, that them unresolved issues that you got to deal with, you're going to regret it one day. Ask my daughter. You're going to regret it one day. And so it's wrong. It's wrong for you to be playing pawns with your kids against a man that you say you used to love. It's wrong. Yeah. And you will reap what you sow. You bet your bottom dollar on that one. You will reap what you sow. But, baby, you keep trying. You keep trying. Don't you give up. No, all we're saying is that what my daughter is 28 now. Ask her about her daddy. Ask her about him. Honey, you keep trying. You just keep trying, and you're gonna succeed. Trust you me. You will succeed.
Well,
you
why
will,
I asked was y'all, why I asked was y'all on the time, because I'm going to come back to your show and let you know that I do be a part of a life. That's my testimony.
Thank you.
And I'm claiming
praise
it right
God.
Now.
Praise God.
You see, so that's why I ask was y'all on here all the time, because I have fought too hard not to be in her life.
That's
I mean,
right.
going through the systems, doing everything, and I know God is going to prevail at the end.
That's what I'm talking about.
So, you know, that was my testimony asking why y'all going to be, because I will be calling back letting you know that God has prevailed. And I'm going to
be
a part of my life.
Well, you call back, and he going to do it, too. You best believe he will do it.
I'm with you right now.
He going to do it.
And I just want to really thank you.
Call back and let us know. We appreciate it.
And I will. And I want to thank you for the honesty. I don't know who I'm talking with, but the one that said she was bitter back then, I commend you for your honesty. That really touched my heart.
Praise God.
That, you know, that
I like transparency, you know, and that's why I told, we can talk about Peter, Paul, and John, but today the people need to hear our testimony. We are
right.
The Peter, Pauls, and Johns, and, you know, we're the people that was in the Bible. So we're dealing with reality, just like they was dealing with reality. So we have to be transparent so that other people will know. Just because I have a pastor on my name, I like to let you know where I came from. And I was bitter. I was bitter, and so I tried to hold my kids away from their dad. Because if you don't want me, you can't have my kids. So, but anyway, God get the glory. I'm saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost, filled, fire baptized.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm helping other people be able to come through now. You know, come through
mm-hmm.
by sharing my testimony and letting them know. But we decree and declare that, you know, God is going to do what he's going to do for you, and he's
yes,
going to change. The Bible says the heart of the king is in his hand. It's in God's hands, so he can turn
it's
the heart.
It's in his hands. That's right.
He can turn the
heart. So you be encouraged, babe. You be encouraged.
What I'm going to do, I'm going to go save your on Facebook. You know it's me. My name is Craig Jackson, and I hope we can keep in touch and internet or whatever I could do down here. I'm in Seattle, Washington. I don't know where y'all located at, but I hope we can keep in contact because I do a lot of community. I'm into music, and I do a lot of community festivals down here.
Praise
and
God.
I know a lot of people.
Well, you stay in touch with us. You have our information on
yeah.
the on the flyer where
it's
you found
flyer.
Us at on Facebook.
Okay.
So you stay in touch with us, okay? We
yes,
love
ma'am,
you.
And God bless y'all.
Bless
yeah,
you. Bless you, dear.
Do
all
you
right.
have any more questions? More comments? Any more questions or any more comments? If we don't have any more questions or comments, Dr. Pippen will be back on next week. And, you know, invite somebody. We're talking about I See You. Next
that's
week,
right.
I see you
mm-hmm.
as a PK child. As a PK child, Dr. Piven is going to deal with I See You in the pews, and she's going to be dealing from being a PK perspective, licensed and ordained. She's going to talk about being broken, wife beaters, man beaters, you know, because some of the wives beat the men now. Alcoholics,
right there.
Liars and cheaters. Yeah, so this is what we're going to be dealing with. We want to deal with reality of today and what we are seeing from the pulpit out and what the pews are seeing from where they're sitting into the pulpit. So we just don't want to deal with it in one way. We want to talk about, as being preachers and being PK kids, what we see the perspective on both sides. So tell somebody about the show for next week, Dr. Pippen. We thank you so much for being here tonight. We look forward to the call for next week. I see you in the pews. And let's talk about it. And we don't want you to be silent on the phone. We want you to be able to have a voice. That's why it's called the Apostolic Prophetic Voices. And let's talk about it. We don't only want to be the one to talk about it because undoubtedly you got – you know, something is going on or something grab your attention for you to be on the line. And everybody have a voice. You don't have to say your name, where you're from. Just, you know, let us know what you think of the show because we don't want our labor to be in vain. And I also say, you know, because you don't never know when God will have you to hold a radio show or a radio broadcast. And we need your feedback. We thank you so much, Dr. Pippen. And if you will, give us a prayer to close out, and we will be back next Tuesday night at 9 o'clock.
Next Tuesday night at 9 o'clock. We're looking forward to it. Thank you, Apostle Janet. I really appreciate you so much. We are friends. We are sisters. We are co-laborers in Christ. And I'm so thankful to God that he has knitted our hearts and our minds together. I really appreciate
yes.
you. I honor you, and I thank the Lord for you. Now, Father God, we want to thank you this evening, God. We want to thank you for every person that have been able to hear what we've been able to discuss this evening. We thank you because you are here. And God, we can't do nothing without you. We thank you for the seeds that have been planted in the lives of parents, in the lives of fathers, in the lives of mothers, in absent parents, in absent fathers, in absent mothers. God, in the children that you've allowed to listen to what we've discussed tonight. We thank you, God, because, God, without you, we've already stated it. We'll state it from the highest mountain. We can't do nothing without you. God, we need you to make us better people, to make us better parents, to make us better husbands and fathers and mothers and wives. We need you, God, and we thank you for being ever so present in our lives. We thank you for this show. We ask that you would allow it to reach every home, every ear that need to have a voice in it, God. We thank you. And, Father, we ask that you will send a special powerful anointing to the brother that came on the line this evening. God, answer his prayer. We stand in the gap for him, God, because there's a little girl that's crying out for her daddy, and he's willing, God. And we thank you for him, and we thank you for all the fathers who want to be a part of their children's lives, all the mothers who want to be a part of their children's lives. And we ask, God, that you would just down your anointing power and allow establish obstacle, every curse, every negative, every ill, every demon that want to stand in the way so that children don't become who you said that they will be. We ask, God, that you would just clean it up, clear it out in order for it to be made whole. And we thank you, God, for allowing us to be here this evening. We ask that you would just continue to bless as we continue to serve. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you once again for joining us, and we look forward to the show next Tuesday night. Good night, everybody, and we love you.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.